He does like to be contacted, I mean. Anyway, and ma'am, you came in, do you wish to speak?
No, I'm okay. Just here to observe.
Okay, all right, just want to give everybody their fair shot. Let's go. Okay, so let's review the minutes. Hopefully everybody's looked at the March minutes, and then there's a motion to approve, and then before, unless there's some discussion or revision someone would like to make.
For dollars, and we need to support her. Oh, that is so good. I'm very passionate, and I think that you guys have so much passion on your board. There's passion in the community for parks. And I look at life both sides. We all appreciate the jewel and the crown and the beauty of the park. And some people, we have to teach them the appreciation of you can get the tax write-offs and shelters, different things. So we'll be speaking to different folks in different ways, but trying to bring home the one message that the parks are where you want to invest for the future. It's just as important as your infrastructure. It's just as important as education to make sure it's staying and carried on to the next generation. So, oh, and the last thing, the Flossy Wager Award. This hasn't been in the newspaper yet, and I will not tell you the leading Eagle winner, because we have yet to hunt that man down. He was late today. So our tributary award winner was James Fairlight. He works out in Richfield City. He does Abrams Park. This man is the most dedicated gentleman I've ever seen. Amazing letter. We went and gave him his, told him that he won. Then Joyce Lindsay, of course, Monday. She is our V Formation Flyer winner. And just so much work she set out in Washougal with Seaman, the dog out there, and now Forever Faithful, the police dog that's going out in front of Washougal Police Station. So many good things going on in East County, so it was wonderful to recognize Joyce. And our final award winner, you'll find out about whenever I can catch up. About ready to ask Chuck Atkins for help.
So I had the pleasure of meeting with Diana earlier today, and very inspirational discussion that we had, which was great. And I talked about the Lewis and Clark Trail a little bit, and Diana told me about a particular philanthropist that I didn't have a chance, but I will. But lives in Kansas and has money, and he does love trails. And so I'm hoping that we can hook him up for our fall shootout in the Lewis and Clark Trail. So. Did meet, I went to Portland earlier this week, and met with the American Society of Landscape Architects, and we did get a landscape architect to sign up pro bono. So we do have some engineering firms that have already signed up to work for us pro bono, which is great. And thank you, Kelsey, for all your help. So with this year wrap, we're going to try to bring all of our stakeholders together, as well as these professional groups, and try to start. Well, we should have base mapping in place by then, and we actually started working on this trail system. So really coming together. So I'm really inspired by that. But I hope that we can get some deep pockets to help us when the time comes. So thank you, and appreciate it.
And well, we look forward to working on it.
Anything great. You can let me know.
Do
you have
things that
are developing that you think I should know about? I give everything in my card.
I'm official. So please feel free to reach out to me. We will do that. All right. Okay. Moving on to unfinished business. Youth member update.
While you're talking, I'm trying to give you the card. I'll distract you.
Yeah, distract me. Well, we know that's not hard to do.
No.
I think Laura finally got the information over to Jennifer at...
Jennifer.
Jennifer Clark down at the VOCC. And you're going to issue that out. But Elizabeth Hill sent me an email where there is one young man on her council, her youth commission, that's also interested, who would be a wonderful match for us. Not that we want to make any prejudgments before others have the opportunity to come in, but with his experience sitting on the Youth Commission, that's what we need to guide us, because that's really what we're looking for, is help us define what this position is going to look like in the future. So having someone with experience like that will be a real plus. So looks like there will be some youth out there that are interested in joining us, and I'm excited about that. Do you know what end date we ended up putting for
So you have a copy of the news release, and he just...
My computer's been really super flaky lately.
It's in our packet.
I feel real handicapped without... I got a virus, and it's been just a bugger getting it off.
So
my daughter cleaned my system twice.
So we were hoping that you could just glance over the news release that's in your packet and then just give us some clarification on, do you like that end date? Do you want to project it out further?
Oh, here we go.
Do you want one or two members? So that's highlighted at the bottom.
So the deadline is May 12th, Friday, May 12th. Is that too long?
That would be about a month.
That's the next PAP meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So we would know by the end of that day. We wouldn't know for the meeting, though. But you would know the following month.
Yeah.
Oh, we still, I don't know. What does everybody think?
I think a month is adequate. People are interested. They're going to jump on it within a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a clarification of one or two positions that we want to, or appointments that we want to consider one, or do we want to consider two? Or?
Well, we said two if we can get them.
If we get them. So.
That way they have a cure to commiserate.
So the way that statement reads, the Parks Board will review applications and select the top one or two.
We can clarify
that. We don't define top, so maybe we take that word out. I don't know. This is my thoughts real quick. And then we select up to two candidates.
Could we just take that out and just say select candidates? That be okay?
We can do that too.
That gives you some open options.
Yeah.
You could say up to two. I'd like to define it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that we're not adding 10. Mm-hmm. It's one or two.
Gotcha.
Okay. We definitely want
maybe
one.
Maybe up to two.
Great.
Thank you.
I just worry about the word top if somebody.
I agree.
I'm not the top.
Yeah. How is this being distributed? Is it just through paper? Is there a way we need this in schools?
So I've already sent it to all of our connections, sort of preliminary, that paragraph that we had in email, to the appropriate kind of programs that where kids would have access to leave in the middle of the day, Running Start, Home Connection, some of those. So.
Do you get any reactions from that?
You know, it's distributed leadership, so I send it out and they're going to work on it from there.
And Elizabeth Hill is also doing the same.
Right.
So we've had one student that's already interested.
Yeah, we already had one.
Which is great. So that was largely because of Jennifer that got the word.
That was from Elizabeth. From the Youth Commission.
Okay, yeah. Great.
Do you have any connection with any youth organizations like scouting, girls, boy scouting, anything like that?
It can really be anything. We decided to call it youth rather than students, just in case.
So any kind of a youth group, I don't know if there's a distribution house in this county for youth organizations or clearing house website. I don't know. I'm just wondering, why does the distribution get on that
side? But this will go out to anybody that reads papers, so hopefully they'll get out there.
I don't know how many kids read papers.
Their parents might.
That's true.
A lot of kids actually do.
We thought about letting them apply via text and emoji, but we.
Yeah.
Believe
something.
Well, one thing we can do is we can feature it on our Facebook page, and social media is always.
Great.
Not Facebook is what kids do, but we can
just
try
and show.
Yeah.
It's just having that audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't have a target. Most of my target audience is a little beyond the age group.
So, with that said, we're going to use our Parks Advisory Board to make the selections.
I thought that it was you and the VOCC that you wanted. When we talked about it in the pre-PAB meeting, you said you wanted to follow the standards process that we're following now for the adult members. We're open to...
Okay. I know they're ex officio members or non-voting members.
They're ex officio. They have to be in order to be compliant.
I don't know if we want to... We can actually...
Yeah, because in order for them to be voting members, we'd have to change state law as well as... local ordinance.
Okay. Well, we can ask them. I know that the counselors have always been interested in having youth on this board.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we can ask them to see it. And I don't know if we're going to get a huge response, so it may not be that big of a chore. Typically, our protocol is Jennifer Clark, she gathers all of the applicants. She sends them to us. We review them, make our recommendations, and the recommendations are what we send to the board.
Yeah.
That's how it works right now. And so we can keep that same protocol.
Yeah, because we started out, we said the group was going to, and then it was after discussion that we would follow the standard process, mm-hmm. so that it wasn't deviant from what the adults,
what we've been doing,
quote unquote,
okay.
were treated as.
All right.
So
start them out as equals.
That last sentence might need to be modified, that the park board is not selecting.
Right. So we'll just cut that part of it out. We'll just keep the same protocol. Okay. Sounds good. It looks like we're moving forward, which is great.
Yeah. All right, PIF updates.
Okay, you have this in your packet? And so I just wanted to bring this to your attention. This recent update, it's shown that we were providing some funding between January and March. And so if you look at specifically at PIF 6, which was really impressive, we brought $431,887 in 2 months, which is pretty, really substantial. And so I would have to imagine that there was a big development that's going in, and they paid their PIP fees. And so that's along 72nd Avenue. PIP 8, we brought in $102,688, and the other ones have been actually doing very well. I've got a really good track record of funding coming in each and every month, but this month caught me by surprise with the amounts that were coming in these two districts. So looks like we're moving forward, which is great. Our spring supplementals, we did identify that we want to move forward with developing Otto Brown Neighborhood Park. That's in PIP District 5. Our typical neighborhood park costs around $800 to $1.2 million to construct. And as you can see, we have that funding in the combined account. And then also within our spring supplemental, we identified Kirkwood Creek, which is a community park. That's on 72nd Avenue in behind the fire station. That piece there, and we've got typically a community park will run somewhere between $3 to $5 million to build, but we've got $1.8 million in the account right now, and it'll be probably 2019 for sure when we actually go to construct it. I think that with the monies that are coming in at a faster pace, I think we're going to hit our target. Plus, we're going to go after RCO grants for this site. Another site that we're looking forward to development doesn't show on here. All you see on here are the original 35 MPD parks, the remaining parks. Cougar Creek Woods Community Park, we intend to move forward with that one as well. So that is in PIP District 9. And we're expecting to go after a grant with that as well with RCO. And then we also anticipate, I don't see Melotta here today, getting some matching funds from the Flood and Neighborhood Association. They've been very invested for several years on this particular park, and so I hope to move forward with it.
PIF 6 is going to have a lot of money coming in for us.
PIF 6?
We have like 300 lots there.
Wow, really?
Like, what's that? 72nd, 50th, 72nd, like
129,
basically.
Yeah,
okay. So
there's going to be a lot of houses this summer.
Wow, great. Okay.
That's good in many ways.
So I'm happy to see the funds are coming in at a pretty good clip right now, which is great. As far as concurrency, I don't think we have a concurrency sheet here. One thing I can report on is with the purchase of the Austin Heritage property, that's the piece on 99th Street that was approved some months ago. We had that approved. The purchase sale agreement was approved last Tuesday at board consent, and so we're moving forward to closing on that. And that will be the last park that we were concerned about concurrency on. We went to concurrency last September, and we're finally closing on that, so we're in good shape.
In the next period of the next
2022?
Yeah, it was a long way. Yeah,
we don't have to worry
about it.
Correct. Okay. That's not going to stop us from purchasing property, so we'll be talking about that later.
All right,
else?
That's it.
Okay, great. All PAB regional meeting, do you want to speak to that?
Yes, I would be happy to.
I finally got a time,
I think for all of us, it's just been a crazy winter. And Marie's been fighting off a bunch of crud at her house, too, so I've had to nudge. But we finally have a date and time, and we have Mark Bolt confirmed to speak to moving forward with the Blue Ribbon Commission, which we're anxious to hear the BOCC's position on. And it's going to be May 31st at the Ridgefield Community Center at starting at 6:30. She says that she will get, she's got sick kids again, so she said she'll be working on the agenda and the invitations in the next couple weeks, which I think is kind of pushing it, because if people don't have that date on their calendar, it fills up fast. But that's just me. I would like to be at least a month ahead of time. So yes, good news, they are moving forward, and I did pass on our willingness to work with them and help them out if they need it to, you know, bring the event to fruition. But I'm excited that another group is doing it, so it doesn't look like the interest is just from us. So that's really good.
Did we provide her with our sign-in sheet? Or?
Oh, I gave her everything. Yeah. Yeah, I gave her everything from both the picnic and the meeting.
What was the date again?
May 31st. It's a Wednesday, I believe. Yeah, we gave Councillor Bolt 3 or 4 dates and let him pick which one was best on his calendar.
Okay, good news.
Yes, so forward progress.
So the Blue Ribbon Commission will be one of the topics?
Yes, that will be one of the topics. She doesn't have it. That was at our request.
Okay.
That go on the agenda.
Okay.
But if you have other things that you think would be interesting to be on it, I will be meeting with her. She asked for some help building out an agenda.
Okay.
And I said I'd be happy to help.
I wouldn't mind talking probably once again about the Lewis and Clark Trail. Mm-hmm. I want to keep that fresh. And the city of Ridgefield is actually a partner with us on that.
Mm-hmm.
So is the city of Washougal. We had to have a few partners to make this thing go over the intertwined.
So
I want to keep pressing that issue.
Does anyone have an idea for it? We did an educational point at our last meeting. I'm not saying that this is going to be on, but does anyone have an idea for an educational aspect of it? I was thinking you do a lot of building. No? No?
Okay. Yeah, I don't even know. I don't know what you meant last time.
Oh, we had the innovative park concepts where there was new and different ideas for parks, like parks that were theme-based and such. And she had some really unique and different play structures.
Yeah, the play structures.
And so that just gave us a new, fresh look, and I didn't know she had my idea. So I thought, if anybody has an idea, we're open. That's it. Always good to get other people's input.
Can I help? I'm so sorry.
Oh, this is where we are trying to bring all Clark County Parks Advisory Boards together for economies of scale, to work with each other and support each other in our endeavors and efforts. So it's like Battleground has a Parks Advisory, Washougal, Camas, Ridgefield, Vancouver, and us. Is that it?
So, and just so you know, last year, Barbara, that we had the picnic?
Yeah.
Or was
we did a picnic out.
Yes, we had two different events where we had all the Parks Advisory Boards were invited to. And we actually had a pretty good turnout with both of those. So we had a picnic down at Santa Creek Park. And then Barbara also put an all-PAB meeting together last winter over at the Heritage Forum. And so really good turnout, great collaboration. And so we're trying to... We actually hosted both of those, so we're trying to get it out to these different jurisdictions to see if we can rotate on a quarterly basis or semi-annual basis. So that's the intent.
It's a way to look at ways to collaborate together, where we find ourselves in a even with the change in the economy and seeing buildings start up again, there's always the challenge of finding the dollars or using dollars effectively. So there are ways that if we come together and start truly partnering, that we can save money. And you can't do that if you don't come together.
I'd be happy to present behind the collaboration and not just, as you were saying, save money, but how we can partner and collaborate together to make money. And by making money together, as our parks departments work unilaterally across, you know, our municipalities, that means we can float donors across municipalities, and we can bring product to high-dollar donors, so we don't just come asking for a check. We can show them what we can develop and work with them on in their jurisdiction, and coming together. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense.
That
would
be wonderful.
Why don't I float that past Marie? Because
please,
one thing I always hate to do is you give someone a responsibility and then take it back. I don't want to take it back, but I will suggest that we do that. You know, but I think that's a great idea. I just don't want to speak for her.
I'm a big believer in 120 powers. Standing alone, we can't do a lot.
That's exactly the thought of us.
One thing, Barbara, that might tie people in being a little more vested, I would be interested in, is maybe like a 2-minute presentation from each jurisdiction on like a park they're particularly proud of, or something like that, where they can show us. I mean, we haven't been to Abrams Park in years, and I took my girls to it. I didn't know it existed, and it was like the most amazing park of all time. And it's, you know, so I think maybe...
You can keep the kids away from the creek.
Yeah, we did. Well, yeah. No, we didn't. They fished for a second. So, I don't know, maybe something where each... There's so many places... Like, I don't get out to Washougal much, and I was telling Kyle, oh, there's this park that they were telling me about. It was Washougal or Camas at the last PAB meeting where they explained you go on this little quick trail, and there's, like, an overlook, and then there's a really cool new play structure.
Oh.
But I couldn't remember the name of it.
Oak Creek Park. It's up in Lookout Ridge.
Look, yeah, okay.
That's where I'm at. This is where we live. You go up Shepherd Road, mm-hmm. go up, and then you go Stone Gate Drive all the way down, and then just head up the hill. Follow
okay.
the big houses to the top of the hill. There's Oakbrook Park right up there. Beautiful lookout. You can see actually Vista House.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, so something like where there are little nuggets in each of these jurisdictions that I don't know about.
Your
so
park.
Yeah, so maybe if they could share like something to the, you know, we all live in Clark County, but, you know, I don't get to walk, you know. But if you can show me something where I go to it and then tell people I know to go to it, I don't know, just kind of something where they're vested too and they have a reason to show up.
And that's always a good way to get people to attend as well.
Yeah.
All right, so new business, moving on, park tours.
Yeah,
conversation at our last meeting.
Our last meeting, I think we had discussed the possibility of re-engaging folks to see if they want to do tours again. Last year we did, we picked a park each month and went out to them. And then there was one time that we actually jumped in a van and went out to see several parks with two of our county councilors on board. And so I wanted to see if there's any interest of highlighting the park each month and going out and meeting, like say at noon, and taking a look so we can get better acquainted with our county parks.
I would love that. That would help me get acquainted. I did some touring myself in the last month, like I said I was going to. Found a couple parks in Indian. Is this little park? That's
great. It seems like every year we get about 4 or 5 calls from somebody standing in the middle of the park and saying, I am lost.
Come again.
So the wayfinding signs are hopefully will help people find the way out.
I would love that. I would love to see maybe the lands that we have purchased or looking to purchase,
uh-huh.
and like maybe things that we're going to develop or recently developed.
Okay.
That's so far ahead of me that I don't really know what's going on from a development standpoint. I don't know if you guys are the same way, but
could do is maybe do a little mixture. We could do like an individual park on 1 month, and we can do a van tour to go see several parks. Would that make sense?
Yeah.
So we'll mix it up a little bit. The van tour, obviously, we'll need about 3 to 5 hours to accomplish that.
Would it be possible to plug in other board members, like the Park Foundation board members, so I can tell them that it's field trip day and you can come out and plug into that as well?
So maybe a good question, because you know my feeling on this. I think this is best thing. Is what is the best time for other members to make it? I know that John and I were there by ourselves a lot of times last year, and it seems like it's not a good use of your time if it's just...
It's fine. I mean, I'm okay with it.
You like to hobble through the woods with me? Okay. I'm slow.
And so whatever's best for you. I know that folks all have jobs and that it's hard to make it to these midday events. So if you want to do like an afternoon shot or something like that, we can certainly consider those.
Yes.
Dave and I made it to quite a few. I made it to like 3 or 4.
Have the knowledge of the days ahead of time, we'll be able to schedule it off and that sort of
thing. Okay.
Maybe stick with Fridays at noon.
Okay. That sounds great.
If that's all right, if that's...
That works for me. That's actually my latest day, typically.
That's your latest day, Bill?
My latest day is
Friday. Oh, I thought you said latest. I'm like, you stay latest on Fridays? We should give you an award.
Mondays and Thursdays are usually pretty packed, but Fridays tend to lighten up a little bit. So I always look forward to these trips. And so we typically stop them in the wintertime. Obviously, the weather's not good. And so, you know, we're coming up on May. I think it's time to re-engage again. So any suggestions as to a site that you'd like to go see?
Sorensen.
See some of those new
Yeah, I want to show off Sorensen.
Great.
Yeah.
They have a great nature play there.
It is so great. Like, we don't even bring toys to the park anymore because they just play with sticks all the time in that play area.
That's great.
Well, we'll schedule it. Well, Laura, we'll send an invite to you, and if you can make it, wonderful.
If you want to throw 2 or 3 dates out, 2 or 3 months out.
Yes, and we'll do that. We'll plan out
the ways. Potential sites, we can work through that. They can get it on their calendar. That'd be great. Yeah.
I haven't visited too if there's any sites, if there are any unique challenges or issues that the Parks Board is, or the Parks have to deal with, whether it be communities or activities or neighbors or... political pressure to be drawn, just so we're aware of that too. Because I know we have a lot of successes. Unfortunately, everybody's got a little bit of problems somewhere. It'd be nice to be aware of that as well.
Okay, sure.
Okay. All right, appreciate it.
Maybe the following month we could go see all those new properties we acquired this past year.
Yes.
I'd like to.
Yeah,
I'd like to go see them.
We can do that. All right, very good.
Okay, in your package, you will also find the Prairie Fields Memorandum of Agreement.
Yes, and this is still in draft form right now. We do have some language to add to it still. So you know, we acquired Prairie Fields last year, and we're going to use the Prairie Field Association to manage and program the site. They have been the primary operator of Prairie Field since 1969. It is out in Brushburg. So just, it's about, what is it, 145th or so? Prairie Field in Brushburg is a road that heads east, and you go down that road a mile, and it's on your left-hand side, 36-acre site. It's got 6 ball fields on it, and it's basically just all softball. So it's been an adult softball complex for many years, and so it's still going to be that, but there's also multiple little leagues that want to play there as well. We got Cal Ripken playing out there. We got Vancouver Girls Softball Association. They want to be out there. We've got Premier League that wants to be out there. And there's one or two other groups. And they have been playing out there in the past. And so Prairie Fields have been responsible for scheduling. But at that time, it was under private ownership. And so Prairie Fields have been responsible for all the maintenance of the site throughout the last several years. Last year, we were working in conjunction with the City of Battleground to have them actually operate the site and program it. But they came into some hard times, if you will, as far as having the ability to take on that challenge. And so we defaulted back to Prairie Fields, who are intimately knowledgeable about the site. And so Prairie Fields will sublet the fields out to all these little leagues, which is a win-win for us. The one thing, and we're basically going to charge them $1 a year to use the fields, but the one caveat is that we want them to put a lot of the proceeds that they're getting through fees for field use into a special account for capital improvement and capital repair. And so that's why I met with Diana this morning to see if we can set up a special account with the Parks Foundation. Prairie Fields is a 501c4 corporation, and but the problem is we don't know if they're going to be around forever. And if they were to go away, we don't want that funding that they're collecting to go away with them. So that's why we want the Parks Foundation to be involved. And so we want that to be the pool that holds the funds for capital repairs and improvement of their site. So the one thing that's really great about the Parks Foundation is they can set up special funding pools that are for specific to a site or to a specific project. And so when I meet with Diana again next week, is that right, Diana? We're going to set up a special account for Prairie Fields as well as the Lewis and Clark Trail. So thank you, Diana. Appreciate it.
So the date on this has me confused. Since the initial term of this lease shall begin at the time of execution, shall be for 2 years, until December 31st, 2018.
Right.
That's
so we always start off with a shorter period just to make sure it's going to work.
Oh.
And then
okay.
If the relationship is great, then we'll extend it for 2 5-year periods. So essentially, it's 12 years. So that's typically how we initiate our agreements. And then if it's really working out, then we can actually extend it out. By law, we can only go out 20 years on an agreement.
Okay.
I found that through our PA's office.
I would say that's just over a year. So.
December 18th
is
2 years from
it. No, these dates are going to be changed, modified. So we don't know when this is going to actually go into
effect. Okay.
This
well,
has to go
in line, yeah.
This has to go in front of the board first for approval.
Is it the board fees or is it just Mark?
I think it's
just,
might just be
Mark. I think
you're
using
our
answers. It's not really a
dollar. It's not an air local. Okay. So,
in the MOU, will have the language about
we're going to add that in, yes.
And the
information
fee and all that kind of stuff.
We can add that too, yes.
So everything's spelled out for them?
0.2%, right?
I'll look at it, depending on how much money they put in, kind of like a sliding, sliding scale based on what the amount will be. So I can tell you that when you kind of get an initial dollar amount they want to start with.
Okay, that sounds great. We'll add that in. So we're trying to get this kicked up because obviously these folks are up and playing on the fields already. But Eric, our sports schedule is actually issuing use permits right now until we get this thing wrapped up.
For every game?
For every league.
Okay. But, I was going to say poor Eric.
And it shows dates on the special use permit.
Okay.
So that's just kind of our bridge until we get this secure.
Okay.
What's the difference between a nonprofit C3 and a C4?
Oh, there is a difference between the two. I know the answer, but I can't quite remember what it is.
Does that have to do with the ability to receive donations?
I think it might be.
They're both
taxed. I don't know if it's a tax status.
One of them is it's the level, if I remember right, that the C3 can sponsor up to like $50,000 and for ones that where you get big donations like the Parks Foundation, they're a C4. Is that right? It's a level of deductibility.
I know the Parks Foundation is a C3. She's not. Maybe when Diana gets back, she can answer that.
Yeah, I bet you she can.
It is the ability to take.
But I know that one of the differences was that we couldn't run it through our neighborhood association. That was a 501c3. Because the donation was greater than $25,000 at that time. This was 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so we set up an account with the Parks Foundation.
I was curious. This is very similar to a nonprofit organization. They're not putting very much money in their pocket except for owning.
Correct. They are a nonprofit organization.
That's kind of my question.
Yeah. They're all nonprofit.
They're all nonprofits. Yeah, because you talked about the fees that include specific things.
Yes.
We've had things with the federal government where we pay those people up right for recognition areas, and they make the profit.
Oh, I see. Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
So this is more to come on this. I don't know if you want to see it again or not, but we will have a final draft end of next week.
You and I can talk about it. I looked through it and I saw a couple of things.
Okay.
I just wondered about.
Sure, that sounds good.
You know, the long-term scenario of the facilities and stuff like that. Right. Like you said, the key is if they go away or the entity folds, what happens to the facility, what happens to that? I call it a sinking fund, but the fund is, you know, perhaps
So Prairiefields will be 100% responsible for the cost of maintaining the entire facility for the most part.
Right.
And we do have a park host that is stationed there. He came to the property.
Oh, okay.
Come to the official park host.
You do have a park host there.
We do, yes.
Is he also a maintenance individual? Or?
Yeah, he has been the one that's been doing all the mowing of the site.
Right.
And leaving the restrooms.
Oh, yeah. Right. When we were out there, there was a guy out there cleaning up the infield.
Dave, and, yeah. Right. And so we adopted him and we embraced him. So he's part of our volunteer staff then.
Okay.
So one of the things you might want to look at, because Kevin brought up the question, what would happen if they went defunct, is required as part of their letters of incorporation of the nonprofit. They have to define what can happen if they go defunct.
Yes, and they're also provided a
So that should be right in the documentation that they could give you.
We actually do have all the information, plus we're holding them to $10 million liability insurance and all the coverage that is required to run the site for an entire year.
Yeah.
So, Diana, you know the difference between a C3 and C4?
I know a 501c3 is what we carry, and I know a C6, you can do lobbying, you can't with 501c3, I'm not sure the tenants of a 501c4.
Is it public ability to collect money?
Let me.
That's okay. They would have just got you my
stuff. I've got 4 or 5 attorney friends. I'm just going to message them.
There you go. Okay, anything more? Good.
All right, so we'll move on to the manager's report. Bill, you're up.
I'm up. Okay. Pat Lee and Jeremy and I are still moving forward with the purchase of the acre property, and that's at Vancouver Lake Regional Park. And this is the one that we talked about. It's the one that we always thought we owned. Our dike road actually goes right through the middle of that property, and we've been utilizing it for the last 30 years, if you will. And so it's just a small sliver of property. It appraised out at $36,000. I do have $51 that I'm going to utilize in acquisition to buy that piece. And we are waiting to hear back from the sellers. They're dealing with their attorneys right now. And so I'm hoping that by our next meeting, I should have a clear answer as to what our status is on the acquisition of the piece. So we actually need that park property because we're working with a Columbia River Estuary Partnership. They're actually taking out old culverts and putting in bridges, and that bridge abutment might actually go on to the piece that we're trying to acquire. So that's what brought our attention to it in the first place. And to find out, we're shocked that it was not ours. So, welcome, Diana. I had that in my notes, so it's wonderful to have you here. Thank you. And the North Vancouver Mall annexation, if you look at the back side of the sheet, it shows the annexation map. And so we're working with Julie Henning and Monica Tuberville, the City of Vancouver, on an interlocal agreement to address the transfer. And as it stands right now, Kelly Meadows Neighborhood Park that is currently developed will go to the City of Vancouver. It's one of the 35 promised parks as a part of the MPD. And with that, the negotiation as it stands right now is we will give them the park, and we will also provide them the funding required to maintain it. So right now, as an undeveloped park, it's about $2,400 a year that we spend on it. Once developed, it's going to cost right around $22,000 a year to maintain the site. So since the Metropolitan Parks District is county led, so that doesn't transfer. So we continue to collect the monies in the areas, even if they are annexed, but we are responsible for providing them the maintenance dollars for any of the parks that we have to turn over to them.
Forever.
As long as we have the Metropolitan Parks District
Can you say that one more time?
Yeah.
So you if the MPD area is set, so those folks that live in this area still pay the MPD levy.
That's correct. We still collect the money
in
that area.
And we collect it. Okay. Correct. And then we tally those homes up and give the money to the city to maintain it?
We tally the park that they get from us. Mm-hmm. And whatever parks are given over to the city, we pay to maintain those parks. We pay the city to maintain them.
So they maintain and send us a bill, and you guys pay the bill.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
And what I'm basing it on is
what it costs us right now to maintain them. So we've got a dollar amount that we
and
spend.
And do we get to set a standard?
I would like to.
Me too. And I wonder too, like, they're really into watering all their parks and getting irrigations and stuff now, and I know that we're a little more strategic in the county around what we water and how we water it, so I just don't know if we're congruent with them on that and how that works.
Yeah, I would hope that they would bring it up to a standard that is acceptable to us or how we maintain our parks. Yeah. So I know that they just recently started turning the irrigation on in their parks for the first time. So I think their budget is recovering. But for many years, their irrigation was just shut off and everything went brown. The summer.
Canvas turns off for public parks. Yeah. Irrigation in the summer.
Right.
Ground just goes brown.
So it's going to be some time before the park does get developed.
The answer to your question is the difference between a 501c3 and 501c4 is contribution to the 501c3 are tax deductible. Contributions to a 501c4 are not.
Okay, there you go. All the more reason to send it to the Parks Commission.
Who funds the construction of that park then?
Yeah.
That we need to work out with our legal group. My understanding was that we had to develop the park using our funding, but I don't know if that is still the case. We've got two attorneys that we're working on with that right now, and so.
So I assume we're developing an agreement between us. And
we have an interlocal agreement that we're developing, okay. And we're going to have an interlocal agreement for each faction of this annexation. Like parks will have separate interlocal from transportation, separate from clean water. So. Because each one is uniquely different. So
there is some talk about actually within the last day potentially putting all of the one just so you don't have all that.
Yeah, it seems like an administrative nightmare.
Yeah, you could have 12 to 15 different agreements and maybe just put them all together in one pack. They might be separately identified, but at least in one package that
one of those
goes a little more.
I don't have any history here particularly, and I don't want to delay the meeting, but why? I know
what
they're annexing. We own it, and they're annexing it. But
it works with annexing.
All right.
The definition of an annex.
That's fine. I just
they can speak to
if
them.
They annex it, then they should take all the maintenance and the cost too. I mean,
well, except that all those people are paying the MPD levy.
Yeah.
Yeah. They pay a levy out here for that piece. Where's so that? I mean, unless
correct.
We carve those groups out, and they no longer have to pay a levy, but they voted to pay the levy to have their parks.
But
is
it should be a place forever.
Is there a way we can just give them the money and have their maintenance crews do it? I mean, does it cost us more to, maintain county or city parks? The more they annex, the more crew we'll have to have.
If we were to give them the MPD money that we collect in the area that's affected by the annexation, it would be substantially more than
okay.
what we'd be paying. And so I can actually give you some figures. So there's 2,440 people affected, people and businesses affected by this annexation. And the amount that we collect in that particular affected area is about $144,000 a year. And so if you compare that to what it costs to maintain the one park that they're actually acquiring, that's substantially more than so. I don't think it's in our best interest because there's going to be future annexation. So let's say they take another park. Do we give them that entire area that's being affected?
Okay.
Eventually, we're going to run ourselves broke because we have this MPD money that's collected serves all of the MPD area. So if they're taking large chunks with each annexation, they're going to be taking a lot of our money away that we won't be able to afford the parks that remain.
That makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, also affected is PIF District 7. So about 45% of our PIF District 7 will be affected by the annexation. I do not know if we're going to be giving them that piece or not. That's why I need the help of our attorneys to figure that out. So we're talking Monday about that. And we're going to have several meetings, of course, in the future. But we just need to know legally what we have to do and what we don't have to do. So, and we'll take it from there. So, in any means, I want to make sure that we're diplomatic in our exchange with the city of Vancouver, because we want to maintain our partnership with them. So we'll put our best faces on.
It would be so much easier if we were just combined again, right?
Yeah.
We're moving it back and forth and all the money.
Yeah. Oh,
a long way in the future. So back to the watering issue that you were talking about. I know we talked about this a little bit last year, and I have to admit I can't quite remember the answer now. A lot of the moms have said, as long as we're watering in the park, is there any reason on the hot days we can't do it and advertise the time for the parents so the kids can go up and run through the sprinkler?
Well,
when they did that at Palaita, the kids were just loving it.
Yeah.
And we don't have swimming pools for the kids to go to.
I would not want to do that. The water is not sort of under the right chemical testing.
So
if you advertise it to do that.
To a kid on a hot day.
So you're supposed to water in the morning and at night.
Everyone's always have that question.
I gotta ask.
I know.
I gotta ask.
I wouldn't want
to. So it's not considered that potable water when it comes to
the water. Okay. So let them roast.
Every once in a while, maybe Doug can attest to this, that we have a valve that malfunctions from time to time.
That's what they were doing when it happened. We said, can we schedule this? And I said, I'll check.
No, we really can't do that, unfortunately.
Something to add to our sprinklers that we use out there are probably four times as powerful as our home sprinklers.
Okay. Answer noted. Thanks.
Thanks for asking. I'll keep you apprised of the annexation. I'll keep you apprised of the annexation as it unfolds. Okay. It's probably going to take the actual annexation is going to take effect August 31st. We lost our beloved forester last week, Jim Banley, and he's been with the county for I think 18 years altogether, and very, very passionate, very dedicated to his job, and unfortunately he passed away unexpectedly, so he'll definitely be sorely missed. So we've got Hunter Decker. He is our other county forester that came on board a year ago, and luckily Jim Banley was able to mentor him, you know, for that entire year. So we have some great continuity there. So I know Hunter Decker, he'll do a wonderful job and carry the torch for Jim. So anyways, I just wanted to let you know. Our parking fee program for our regional parks was initiated on April 3rd, and it's going extremely well. We've got Iron Rangers out on site, which is basically steel pay stations that you draw an envelope out, put your $3 in, and you sign it and rip the top off, and that top is your parking pass for the day. It goes up on top of the dash. And our fee collectors, or our park ambassadors, if you will, they're kind of one and the same, will actually start on May 1st. But Eric, our sports and park scheduler, is actually utilizing some of those folks on weekends for special events. We actually collected $1,100 last Saturday at the Vancouver Lake on a four-hour event. So the parking passes are selling we're selling fast. We've got 500 passes sold already, over 500. And so the City of Battleground has actually been our biggest selling group out at the Battleground Community Center. They've sold over 300 of those passes. And so Eric just keeps bringing, you know, a couple hundred out at a time for them. So
How much did that?
$30. Yeah, we introduced the pass back this year at a single rate of $30. Previously, prior to 2014, we used to sell for $40, but we had a veterans discount as well as a senior citizen discount for $30. So Eric is thinking that instead of maybe introducing a two-tier next year, maybe we just leave it alone since it's not broken. So he thinks we're going to probably sell 1,500 to 2,000 passes this year, which is pretty substantial. So. Okay. The Andrew Warner property trade, that's over here on Lakeshore. that was board approved on March 28th. I gave you a presentation on that. So we're ending up with basically a parcel that's from Vancouver Lake, as well as a parcel that's on the eastern side of Lakeshore Drive. So it was an interesting transaction.
Did it work?
What's that?
Did it work? Did you get all through it?
Yeah, well, we've got a board approved so far, so we expect to probably close the deal by the end of this year. So it's the subdivision has to close out first, and there's certain things that have to take place, but it's moving along real well. And I think I reported earlier today about the Austin Heritage property acquisition. That staff report was approved on April 11th, so we're moving forward with that. I'll show you the property when we go on our tour. Okay. Actually, I'll show you both. And Karen and I have a pre-application conference for Camp Hope on April 19th, next week, essentially. So I'm happy to say that we're moving forward with that. So that's great. Karen Llewellyn, she's our volunteer coordinator, by the way. And she helps with a lot of different things, other than volunteer coordinating. Lucia Falls Regional Park, this just came to me. We have an interested party who wants to actually renovate the old restaurant that's out there on site. We have considered turned it down a couple times because it needs substantial work, and it's a general fund site. We've had no money. They're offered to actually fix it up in order to use it as a coffee shop. So prior to us owning it many years ago, they used to be privately owned, and there was actually a restaurant where they had there was a balcony out back, and they actually had underwater cameras so you could see the salmon that were coming up the river. You could actually see them pulling up underneath, and it was pretty interesting. So we're going to consider that. And then as a whole, we're getting a lot of requests for vendors who want to sell products in our park. So we actually need to take a look at that and see what we can do to reintroduce that. What's that?
The food cart.
Food carts, yeah, essentially. So we do have an actually built-in concession stand down at Pine Line. It's built into the restaurant, or into the restroom. And we've, in our past, have had concessions out of those little temporarily out of Vancouver Lake, Frenchman's. And so we kind of shut that down since the big recession, if you will. So I think we might actually take a look at that again. I know it'll make a lot of people that are using the park happy. They don't have to leave to go get food. They can stay there. And so, and we'll get an actual pretty good revenue out of it as well. So something in the works, when we slow down a little bit, we can actually focus on that. So, but it's kind of interesting with the one here at Lucia Falls to actually renovate that and use it for what it was originally intended. It's a great idea.
Is
this
one Hawkinson?
Yeah, that is actually ran by the Evergreen Little League. Okay. They're the ones that we helped them build that concession stand out there, and that's the primary revenue there as well. So there's one at HB Culver as well, and then the Harmony Sports Complex, they have a concession.
Thank you.
You bet. I'll say the Parks Foundation luncheon, I think we talked about that. That's on May 9th. And so I have a table reserved for you, so I'd love to see you if you guys come. So John, you might miss that.
Reserve
the table so you don't have to pay to go, which is thanks to Pete, so I appreciate it. I'd love to see you there.
I hear they'll have
excellent. Yes, indeed. And we are getting two grants that will be awarded to us at the Parks Foundation luncheon, so thank you so much. Vancouver Senior Softball Association, they're having their ball field dedication ceremony at Pacific Community Park on May 13th at 10 o'clock. That's a Saturday. And so if you can make it there, that would be fantastic. It's been a fantastic relationship. We didn't have to pay anything out of pocket to build that softball field, nor the parking lot addition that they put in to accommodate the added use of the park. And so we really appreciate all the work that they put into it. They're going to do a dedication. I think that the Camas band is going to be there.
There's a flyer in our package.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have a baseball game thereafter. I think all the dignitaries are invited to play in the game. So.
That could be fun.
We recently had an option agreement signed for the Berry property. That's the one that I gave you a presentation on a while back. It was Northwest 11th, 164th, and 510.
That's that long one, right?
That's that long one. And so we're working jointly with the Clean Water Division. They want the back part of that for their clean water program.
Did you say 164th?
Oh, I'm sorry.
149.
You're right,
isn't
149.
It?
You're right.
Oh, good. I was going to say.
Sorry. Yeah, you're right. It's 149th. I'm sorry. And Northwest 11th, that corner.
Yes.
And so we're taking the piece that's right on 149th. And so the front 1.5 acres for a neighborhood park.
Now, is that the part with that little yellow house on it?
It's the one on the corner itself.
Yeah, the corner
yeah,
one, and it's
that's
it. Kind of
it's got the big trees out front, for two fir trees.
Yeah.
And it's got some fruit trees in the back.
Yeah, because the part over next to it is all empty. I was scoping it out, trying to figure out which piece part right along there it was.
Yeah, it's on that northeast corner of that intersection, that T intersection.
Northeast, yeah.
Yeah, and so the piece that is to the east of that was the piece that Jeremy and I looked into some time ago.
Yeah.
And the deal changed.
They were real proud of it.
Yes, yes, they were. So that one kind of died, but this one is now available. It's actually 9 acres.
Yeah.
The one before that, Jeremy, was a 6 acre piece, 5 acre piece. 5 acres. And so we're going to retain the front.
We have to put sidewalks in, don't we?
Yes, we're going to do street frontage.
Because that's the only bad thing, is that that area doesn't have sidewalks.
It does to the property to the east.
Up to it, yeah.
It comes up to that. So
yeah, that's our development.
Sidewalk down. And so the idea behind this, the reason we wanted to split this up was clean water, so we didn't have to do extensive frontage improvements.
Yeah.
And they have a real use for that property anyways for the clean water program. So it's a great relationship.
I should come down and take all
that. Oh, yes. I talked about this, I brought this up to you back in December of this last year, and it was another piece of property that we're looking at. Jeremy, would you mind pulling that one up? The Robert Small piece. It's west of 50th Avenue, kind of tucked in between Pleasant Valley and Greyhawk. And it's a beautiful piece of property, and the gentleman is waiting to sell it to us. We went out there and looked at it. Jeremy and I, Scott Bradley, looked at it. It was a really neat piece of property.
You want an aerial one?
Yeah, why don't you? Bring it up maybe a little bit closer. On 31st Avenue, just west of 50th Avenue.
Okay.
Right here. And so we get Pleasant Valley to the north, we have Greyhawk to the south. And we've got some really, really nice little trees here. As you can see, this is all brand new development around it. And at the time when we're talking to Mr. Smull, we didn't have the money in PIF to acquire the property. But given the funding that's been coming in over the last few months, we do now have what I think to be enough money to make that purchase. I think it's a fantastic area, and it'll make for a great neighborhood park. So I'll probably plan on actually meeting up with him next month, or maybe even the month after. I told him that we would get back to him by next summer, or this coming summer, that is. And so with any luck, we might actually be able to tie this property up.
Can you zoom out a little bit? I can't even find myself. That's my personal problem. Okay, now I see where we're at. Okay, south of WSU. Mm-hmm. That's gotcha. Super. Cool.
So that'll be forthcoming, so I'll let you know as we get closer to that day.
Is there water issue through the middle of that park, or is it, or that
it
property,
high,
or
right.
It's just the way it they is. Were mowing it or something? It's just a dark strip in the middle when you had the
access road or some kind of path.
Yeah.
That's amazing that they want to get that prime piece of.
He wanted to leave a legacy. He doesn't necessarily want his name on that because he's selling it to us, but he wanted his mom actually wanted it to be a park someday.
Oh.
And so, is that right, Jeremy? I think it was his mom, my mom or dad.
That's great.
Well, they could use the park there. Look at how dense the housing is around it.
That community.
Absolutely. So, of course, our intent with neighborhood parks is to try to provide a neighborhood park within a half mile walking distance of any residence that's in the urban unincorporated area.
Mm-hmm.
So, this will help us meet that goal.
Okay. Looks like I need a path from that neighborhood south to the neighborhood north, just south of the property.
One thing that we've got, this sort of touch on it, it should to the right.
You see that?
Sort
of there, you can't walk there?
You want to zoom out a little bit?
Yeah, it was just Standard Green Park. Okay, so right now, we've got
got Santa Creek Park. We've got sidewalks that come up here. There's actually about an 800-foot stretch where there's no sidewalk. And we'd like to get that punched through. But once you get past that stretch, then we've got trail. And we have WSU that's got the new pathway. And so from Pleasant Valley, we've got a new pedestrian bridge that crosses over the creek, goes right into the WSU property. And we have a walkway that goes all the way to the WSU entrance. From there, you get sidewalk access all the way to Hazelville or down Santa Creek Avenue. And so, if we to look at this, this could potentially be another connection. So, we're always trying to look at trails while we're looking at the properties, or connections, if you will. So,
that's great.
So, we're still actively engaged with acquiring properties, even though we don't look at the currency, which is nice. So, we can actually take a harder look at properties and look at the soil types and the profiles and make sure that's going to be a good fit at the cheapest cost to develop. I think with that, that's the end of my report.
All right. Well, I'm going to move us to the subcommittee work sessions.
Looks like we got, I think it's my current standards and training team's meeting. Any wish for?
Well, I think it has
It's April.
Yeah. For the business, financial, and grants, and Chris is not.
I was counting on my staff.
Well, you can, yeah.
Okay, because I brought my stuff.
Okay. I'm ready. Yeah, you got it, but I'm ready.
I just need a motion out of my team. Okay. So we can bring stuff to our next CAB meeting.
Can I make a motion or no? Because I'm a part of. Yeah. I'm not a motion maker.
When we do our little subcommittee meeting.
Oh, gotcha. I can't vote. Can't make motions.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm Switzerland.
But you've got the moves.
I think we're kind of at a point where we can let it work on that. Do you guys work and recess for a little while?
Or do you want to end
the meeting? Or we can end the meeting for those that want to, you know, it's up to, this is a new kind of program we're trying to do. So I want to be respectful of everybody's time and effort and coming in. So what we have proposed to do with this part of the meeting, so everybody understands, is each month we would have two of our subcommittees meet and discuss, since it seems to be very difficult. We all have busy schedules. We all have things going on. So we're going to let meet and then come back together for after 20, 30 minutes, however much time, and kind of present. And then
we weren't going to do any presentation.
Well, you're right. No, I'm sorry. Not a
No.
You're not going to then.
No,
is that we're doing?
No.
All right. So anyway, it was an opportunity for those subcommittees to meet, and I think if you're not involved in subcommittees and wanted to go, be respectful of people's time.
Or they could actually join one.
Join
they
the subcommittees and have a discussion. True.
Yeah, it's an opportunity because we handle so much on our emails. But your subcommittees can't bring anything to the actual CAB as a recommendation without a motion. You can't do that unless you get together. So even though we can do a lot on emails, if we have just 10 minutes here and there, twice a year that we get together here, you can take care of that little business part. That was kind of the concept. Or if you needed everybody to get together and decide on a time that was convenient for everyone else to meet, we're just trying to facilitate the success of the subcommittees.
Good idea.
Okay.
So, that was the thought.
And then for this meeting, we had the business, financial, and grants, but Chris is not here, so that group might be. Barbara has...
just a quickie for my team.
Just wants to bring everybody together, and then Dave said that you and Barbara doing parts. So, with that, we'll go around the table just if anybody has any comments. For the good of the order before we break into the session. So, Laura, we'll start with you and thoughts. And
I updated information on your roster, And Dave let me know that his address was wrong on it before. It was completely different. So if at some point you could check that information to make sure that it's correct. If it's not, I would love to know so I can make it correct. We have a good roster for everybody.
I thought Dave was just hiding from all of us by giving us the bogus email.
That's
a good way to go.
Laura, I really like the way you colorized this. I'm very visual, so nice job.
Thank you. And then also you might know on the bottom, Kelly asked us to add a link to the open space plan as well, and then we also added the park information. So when you get this electronically, you can just click on there and find information.
John, I know you got here a little bit late, and you made me meet. Thank you.
Better late than never. Hopeful. It is hopeful. Okay. So far, I'm not getting cut open, so this is good. Do I have anything scanning? I don't think I've got anything for the group today. We'll keep moving.
I got nothing.
We're going to see the Easter Bunny at Chuck's at 3 o'clock. So whoever follows me on social media will see some horrified toddlers with the creepy Easter Bunny, probably. Because they're never not creepy looking.
That's me.
See? Exactly. You look pretty creepy. That's pretty. Who has a rabbit suit?
I do.
You have a personal rabbit suit?
I have a rabbit suit.
He's got costumes out the yin-yang.
He is the creepy guy.
Fun just call
for the Parks Foundation. Easter Bunny pictures of John next year. I think since we met last time, I sat on a panel at Clark College. Didn't I ever bring that up? Anyway, it was a nature play group, and they had a big nature play symposium there. Mm-hmm. We just met with a lot of enthusiasts around nature play. Annie was there, and myself, and then an Uber volunteer that happens to be phenomenal at Harney was also on this panel talking to people who were extremely passionate about nature play. So it was really quite exciting to talk about things that they're really excited about. This is one of them, parks, nature play. Annie took the opportunity to explain connections and where things were, and so mentioned parks and regional work, and so it was really great. So, and it's you never hear schools say they have money to do this kind of work, but now we have some money with our new schools to re-envision our play environments in a way that will incorporate nature play.
That's
so
great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I love seeing the examples of like Sorensen and a few others, because mm-hmm. I'm just telling people, go to Sorensen, look mm-hmm. at what they're doing. This is what we mean by nature play. The one that was the city completed with Crestline School, that sort of connection there, that's another great nature play piece. So I think they're really amazing, inexpensive, less expensive imagination play for kids that, we find that our kids intuitively don't know how to play. And it's they know how to play, and they know how to do other kinds of play, but not outdoor imagination play mm-hmm. as an intuitive whole group, like we all did. We all were sort of like free-range children, and we just did stuff. And
kick the can.
Yeah, there's a lot of, they don't know how to do that, so we get a lot of truancy types of behavior happening during playtime because they don't know how to interact and play appropriately. So nature play really helps kids with that. So
that's great.
It's awesome. Yeah. It's awesome.
I know we're trying to incorporate those into our new parks, if you will.
So I want it in every park. Even if you just have like a pile of rocks they can climb on.
Exactly.
I mean, it doesn't have to be as cool as Sorensen's like serpent. Mm-hmm.
It does. That's so inexpensive.
Well,
I mean, that was so
those logs
were
pretty
idea.
Expensive.
Yeah.
I bet they weren't cheap.
No, yeah.
Nature play doesn't necessarily
true.
Mean
yeah.
that it's going to be cheap, but
yeah.
it's not looking at posts and beam structures everywhere.
Yeah.
So
it's allowing them
really
to
cool.
really use their imagination
mm-hmm.
to
yeah.
be creative.
This is really cool.
Yeah.
Agreed.
We've got, they call them lily pads.
Yeah.
Silver dogwood. Yeah. So you've got these, they look like stuff sticking out of the ground. Mm-hmm. You try to go as far as you can without touching the ground, you know, things like that.
Cool.
You have rocks mixed in with them. It's pretty neat.
In terms of maintenance, do we know yet what's more expensive to maintain, nature play areas or traditional playground equipment?
Our first couple of nature play areas, the wood was not treated, and so obviously the bark starts coming off and the wood starts rotting, and Doug can probably attest to this again. They're going to be expensive in the future because we have to replace them out.
Yeah.
And obviously the logs rot. Over at Sorensen, that wood that was treated,
uh-huh.
so it's going to last a lot longer. Mm-hmm. So if we had to just add a few more bucks into the initial construction, you know, by doing the treatments, it's going to last a lot longer out there.
And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to have natural materials too. Like playground equipment providers are starting to, sounds terrible, but make, you know, fake logs. And so they look and feel like, well, they don't really feel like it, but they look like nature and they have all the cool elements of a natural log. But, you know, it's a 1,200-pound log that is concreted into the ground where it's not going to, you know, it's got the same durability of straight clay structure.
Yeah. We are using, besides the boulders, any of the natural stuff anymore just because of the slip and slip, you know, it gets slippery.
Right.
And it's just, it ends up being a half or so of the concrete and the fiberglass stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Finally, though, the manufacturers are starting to come around. And
yeah, big smooth rocks are great because they don't rot.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a great concept.
Yeah.
It does teach kids a lot.
Just thought I'd share that. There's a lot of enthusiasm in our community around nature play and the whole, all of that. So it's good.
Barbara?
Got nothing else.
I just need to talk to Bill after the meeting for a couple of minutes.
So as a new guy on board, I want to thank everybody for the information that comes along. It's organized, it's easy to get to, it's accessible. Thank you. You're probably behind that. I appreciate that. And I was really impressed by your website, too. If you gave me the link to the mapping tool on the website. That's better off with that. That's super user-friendly. And I don't know how many people know about that website. I have a good friend who's a realtor. She works in high-end homes. And she had asked me if I had some information about parks. I could send it to her. And she'd never seen that website.
About the GIS.
Yeah, the one that you had on the map, the one that you had on the map. I mean, and then each park has a web page that's got information on those web pages. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of good information. I don't know if others are like me and didn't know it, or I'm just clueless and I've never seen it before. But that's a great resource for the community. And it would be super good if there was a way that could get the news that it hasn't been in a while, so people know it's available.
Yeah, I'm pretty bored out.
That's very impressive.
What's that?
We talked about there was maybe that you group that was doing an app
in your backyard.
We'll have to run on our phones.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any status on that?
The site right now is actually smartphone friendly.
It has.
It should be. Yes, that was the reasoning behind changing it up. So it really should be formatted to your smartphone. When you pull it out.
So it is. It's already there then.
Yeah. So Jeff Myers did a lot of work put that together. So he deserves a lot of credit.
But I don't know. Do you guys have like a springtime release where the paper says, hey, Ken Parson, what's happening in your world? Is it talking about new parks and kind of get some kind of like community front page?
No, I have some pictures.
What to do?
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of people on the website that we treasure about cyber-recreation.
I know that we turn on everybody that she does a reservation in our parks. They all know about it because they have to access that page to make a reservation. And so we probably have, I think we have a base of about 5,000-6,000 people that know about our page and actively use it. But it's always great to get the word out even more so.
That was amazing. She did
those
because
that's a big
thing. Absolutely.
I was trying to suppress the farmer in Clark County. They're not farming, they're hoarders, and they have 15 goats.
Your first meeting?
My second.
Farming. Second.
She hit the hoarder.
There is no pink
okay.
Nothing really to report on other than what I reported on, but what you just said as that GIS tool, which I used when I came on, my philosophy is as we try to make make our parks and trails and programs more robust and healthy, we have to have hope to help put in that kitty. The best way to talk about park impact fees to a builder and let the builders know what, instead of listening to them complain about it, let's show them how you can use your GIS tool to show your buyer, this is the community that you're buying into. And here's the park impact fee that you're paying that goes directly to this. You can run it through the foundation to build the park right here in your community. You know where it is. You can also use that to sell the jewels in our crown, which are our parks and trails throughout the community. These are selling points. These are tools that we can use to raise money on and tools we can use to get community engagement with. So they're also functional for people who want a little park.
Mm-hmm. Great. Hey, I don't have anything to add.
Jeremy, how about you?
I know you work behind the scenes and do all the good stuff for us.
Mm-hmm. You all right?
Yeah, good.
Okay. Then if nothing else, we'll bring the meeting to adjourn and let the subcommittees
work. Is that at the Youth Symposium? Oh, yeah. She uses my kids as, like, all the promo stuff. I was going to say, I was like, my sister spoke at that.
There you were with your kids if they want to research.
I just got an email from Columbia Springs, and it's talking about they're doing like an Easter egg hunt in their trails this weekend. And I looked and I like did a double take. It's like from 2 years ago, but it's one of my girls, like the back of their head, picking up eggs. I was like, I need to start getting royalties for this nonprofit. Come on.
Exactly. Yeah. I